Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Will you lose your repeat buzz if the Cubs lose a series to Arizona?
I will not. I will not lose any buzz about that. I do think that I don't think losing one series will affect the odds to win the World Series or the chances to. I do think, though, that you would like them to come back and figure out a way to win this game, because you just don't want the bats to go quiet. You don't want there to be an issue with that, so you'd like to see, you know, 16 runs one day and then the shutout the next day. You would like more consistency, maybe save four of those runs so you can win 4-3 the next day. I always feel that way whenever I see a big run differential. But a day ago we're talking about run differential baseball. Now we're talking about a team that's staring down their first series loss of the second half of the season. So I don't think it would ruin my buzz in any way, but I do think that it would be something to kind of contemplate and consider. I still think they're going to win the division handily, and I still think that that they're one of the favorites in this thing. But, you know, you go from kind of feeling that it's inevitable they're going to face the Dodgers and let the cards fall where they may to, well, wait a minute, how can you have that kind of inconsistency in terms of run scoring? Obviously, pitching comes into play, but you really hope that they were kind of back to where they were a year ago. And if they lose the series, maybe you question that hope.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Mully. I mean, this Diamondback team, any other year, given, you know, if the Dodgers were just a very good team, let alone this unbelievable juggernaut, the Diamondbacks would be in contention to lead that division with their 61 wins. Now, they have a losing road record, and you don't want to see a guy like Zach Godley beat you the way he did and dominate you the way he did. But, you know, here, if there's a silver lining beyond Jake's performance, which was terrific, Zach Godley was a 10th-round pick from the Chicago Cubs in 2013. So Jason McLeod and Theo and Jed knew what they were looking at on the 288th overall pick. They traded him for Miguel Montero, who helped you win a World Series. So, you know, it was a guy who's back-to-back starts. He had 7 scoreless innings against the Cardinals last week. So he's a decent pitcher, maybe coming into his own. But now you get Zach Greinke. So tell me, if you lose the game today, tell me how it's going to happen. I don't want to see Jose Quintana melt down, because he's been very, very good since you made that trade. The offense we talked about yesterday, it's live by the home run, die by the home run. They have very quiet bats over the weekend in Milwaukee. And this is the first kind of hiccup in the post All-Star schedule where you're starting to see stops and starts from the offense. 16 runs one night, nothing the next, and you don't want to see them fall into that trap again. So you'd like to say, boy, if they had the issue with in scoring position last night, but they didn't have runners in scoring position. So I'm not going to lose any repeat buzz. I didn't think they were going to win every series from here on out.
Right.
And Jake was asked a question if he could be 2015 Jake again, where he just carries the team and is out, you know, every outing out there is just remarkable. And he said, sure, why not? And then made it a team answer, saying defense can be that way, offense can be that way. I'd be shocked if all those things happened, but I like his attitude. But the Cubs hopefully are not going to lose the series, but if they do, that's a pretty good team they're going to lose it to.
I actually didn't have any repeat buzz as far as the World Series goes. I had NLCS buzz, but the Dodgers, they're just on another planet. Last night, they lose to the Braves. That's the first time in 53 games where they had the lead at any point, and they end up losing the game. At any point, So that just tells you right there the kind of season they've had. Now, if Greinke goes out, one of the best pitchers in the league, goes out and tosses a gem today, the Cubs lose 3-2, 2-1, whatever, I'm not changing how I feel about this team. I still think they're going to run away with the division, and they are going to be in the mix. They're one of the three best teams in the National League, and it's tough to really dispute that. You could put Arizona in the conversation if you want, but the problem with them is, in that wild card game, they're going to have to use Zach Greinke. And then they go into the NLDS, and then they're not going to have Greinke for the first few games there. But, no, based on whatever happens this afternoon, I would not be concerned at all. After the Washington series over the weekend, this schedule is just littered with below 500 teams. One of the reasons why the Cubs are going to run away.
Yeah, good points there all around, Joe. I'm with you. I didn't really have the repeat buzz. I kind of am offended of the implication that all five of us on this panel today have some sort of a repeat buzz. Dustin, I think we should have a word about the text and how we lay these things out before the show, but I digress.
It's a copy-paste process, Kenny. The last thing I'm going to do is reword some people on this panel's questions. Not going to happen.
Look, the Diamondbacks are a really good team, and I know people don't get to see them very often because they play in Arizona, because even in that division, they're only in third place. But if you look at the offense, you know they can put up runs with Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb, who everybody got a good look at last night. Mm-hmm. The pitching staff, we all know the Dodgers have the best pitching staff in baseball, first in ERA, first in homers allowed, but Arizona's second in both of those categories, and it's not just Greinke. You know, it's Taijuan Walker, it's Godley, who you saw last night, it's Robbie Ray, who will be back soon, who strikes like everybody out. So Arizona's a really good team. This could be a team the Cubs end up seeing in the playoffs, and I don't think there's any shame if they do end up losing two out of three here. It's baseball. You lose to good teams sometimes. You run into hot pitchers, and maybe that's what's happening here.
I would be disappointed, and my buzz would be tarnished, but it was Dave Wan said, I think you guys correct me if I'm wrong, and he talked about that winning is great, and that enjoyment, it lasts for a couple minutes, but the losses really hurt, and they hurt so much that they really wipe out any of that good feeling, and that's how I felt when I laid down last night and was watching that game. I mean, as fun as 16-5 and let the good times roll and the ball's flying out of the park and Lester and the dancing in the bullpen and we forgot that Addison Russell airmailed a ball. We forgot that Javi Baez swung so hard that he hurt himself, apparently. We forget those things when it's 16-5. So last night, it's like, ugh, ugh.
Didn't you think it was so adorable when Schwarber tried making that little slide in left field and the ball kicked away from him like he was a little leaguer? That was so adorable.
Really? That's why they lost the game last night? I mean, he's one of the guys. That's where one of the three hits came from.
I'm just pointing out a play that happened in the game.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. We want to do the updates now? Or are you trying to take Joe's job, too? I mean, Jiminy Christmas.
They'll pay me.
But Dustin, to your point, I think that's why Joe Madden immediately defaulted to, if we play games like that all the time, you're going to win most of them. I mean, he didn't want them to
see
feel
that. I'm glad you brought that up, yeah. Ryan, if you want to put me on another tangent. That frosted my ass, too. So you're going to win a lot of games when you make three hits? When you get three hits and get no runs,
no, but
we're gonna win a lot of games when you do that.
Yeah, he doesn't believe that, but
I know I'm public school educated.
But I think I think he didn't want what to happen. What you're suggesting could happen. You went to bed feeling rotten about it. He didn't want the team
miserable.
Yeah, he didn't want the team, which is 14-4 now, to take that one loss and let it eat at him. And he didn't want that to ruin the whatever unquantifiable Anthony Rizzo feeling has about.
And I know it's just a game, but You're facing a big time pitcher, okay, in Greinke, and you've got who on the mound today? Quintana at home, series on the line. Not a must win, but a statement game.
That's a good question.
Don't even have to ask. You get it. It's offered up.
Jake Arrieta now has a 1.85 ERA over his last six starts. Is he back?
He's definitely looking like old Jake. And what, 40 pitches through four innings yesterday? I mean, you talk about efficiency. Interesting. I assume Wilson Contreras gets a start today, even though Alex Avila knows Jose Quintana very well since their days with the White Sox. But the praise that Jake showered Alex Avila with,
right.
and Alex gave it right back to Jake, talking about not only their meetings, but Alex went back and looked at all the Jake starts from this year to make sure he was comfortable knowing what the pitcher likes and doesn't like, and also went back and really studied the Diamondbacks, and that's what we expected him to do because that's, you know, a pro's pro. Alex Avila is a pro's pro. But and Joe went out of his way to talk about the great things that Alex Avila is all about. So I'm going to assume Wilson Contreras gets called today. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if they put Avila back there and say, well, guess what? He does know Q better than Wilson Contreras does, and why not give it a shot? But Jake, I mean, this is a 60 pitches through 5 1/3. Even the Jake Lamb double, in air quotes, had a 26% chance, according to StatCast, to be a hit. I mean, that was just it wasn't exactly ripped down the line, but it was just it was good enough and did the damage. And you know, unfortunately, that guy had been 1 for 21. He got a couple hits last night. But I think Jake didn't lose that game. He had every right to win that game last night.
You said that you're starting to see what Jake likes and dislikes. I think he likes years with his money, and he likes or he dislikes apparently Wilson Contreras, because he had his own personal catcher that wasn't that guy, and now maybe he's trying to get another one. I don't know, but I thought he was real good. I thought he was dealing, and I thought that what do you give up? One earned run, right? Three hits. That's pretty good. And he didn't allow a guy to second base until the seventh inning, sixth inning, was it? Late in the game, before they really were threatening. And I, you know, again, I think that Jake is such an important piece, and he is a guy that had been one of the reasons for this Cubs run. Not the reason, but one of the reasons. And to see him regain form, you know, we had this kind of good Jake, bad Jake thing going on for a little bit there. That looks like it's over. It's he's been very good in the last month, and it's the free agent push, right? So you need to be very good if indeed you want your years to go along with your money. So I think it's great, and it could work out very well for the Cubs to have him have all these things sort of come together for him. And what did we learn yesterday from Chris Bosio? Well, he echoed a statement that he made before to us, which is that there were a lot of guys going through a lot of things that we hadn't talked about. So maybe part of that is in there too. Maybe Jake's feeling a lot better.
Yeah, he mentioned, you know, with the ball, Jake, the hand, it wasn't a blister per se, but it was a cut or a sore, and the it wouldn't go away. And
it was sweaty, slippy.
Well, there was that excuse one game too. Yeah. Too sweaty.
Yeah. So I thought he looked good, and I think you need him, so that's good.
Yeah, for 3 months, from start to start, we had no idea which Jake Arrieta was going to show up. There was a lack of control most games. Some games good, some games really bad. Is he Cy Young Jake? Well, they don't need him to be Cy Young Jake. He is now, because of the addition of Quintana, he's a middle-of-the-rotation guy, and you have Hendricks healthy now. He's probably viewed as a three, and he's better than most threes in this league. So if he's somewhere close to this, that's great. And if he continues this, yeah, he's going to get a big-time contract somewhere else. But if he continues this, when you get to a playoff series, I think Joe might go with him as second starter in the series, as opposed to going with Quintana just to switch things up.
Because up the lefty-lefty.
Yeah, and they're very similar pitchers.
Right.
So I'm not ready to say that he's Cy Young Jake, but yeah, he's better than most three or middle-of-the-rotation guys in baseball right now.
Well, I think the reason he had such a good July is because the Cubs coaching staff made him go back and look at tape of 2015 to kind of reinvigorate his thought process.
You're mistaken.
Wait, they made him
Kevin
go
White.
Back at tape?
Sorry.
I'm sure.
Jake looked at his college tape.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No.
Look, he had a great July. You guys all said it. 1.85 ERA last night was fantastic. You should win that game if you're the Cubs and you get that kind of performance from Jake Arrieta. But back is such a relative term. What is he back to? He's not going to be back to 2015 ever. We all know that.
He said he could. He said.
Well, he says a lot of things. I know. But, you know, the strikeouts are still down. The home runs are still up. I know he didn't give up one last night, but in the previous four starts before that, he allowed a home run in every one of those games. So he's still got to work on a few things to be ace quality. Like Joe said, I think he's a two or a three at this point right now. But he has eliminated a lot of the what the hell is he going to do type inconsistency that we saw in April and May. So I think he's kind of hit his level here. He's probably due for another bad start here coming up because he's been on such a good run. But I think he's kind of evened out to where we'll see for the rest of the season. Not going to be 2015, Jake, but he's not going to be as abhorrent as he was in this April of May either.
I mean, 2015 Jake is a level that I don't know that Jake Arrieta or many other
for
pitchers.
Anyone, yeah.
Okay, so
no,
let's,
I mean,
let's
they were talking Bob Gibson-esque from the 60s, right? I mean, that's how long it had been.
So let's tap the brakes on that. And very, 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 very rarely will I ever agree with all the metrics people and who talk about that wins don't matter and wins is a useless stat.
Only agree with it when it supports your argument.
Right. But I am a Cubs fan first, and then I am a fan of the players on the Cubs second. So wins always do count. But Jake was fantastic last night. It's a big situation, home crowd, place was packed, good offense that you're facing. Maybe he's more comfortable with this catcher. I guess we're going to wait and see how that all plays out. But he was really good. Is he back? We talked about it before. This guy has so much to pitch for, to play for in this second half. Yes, and I love the fact that with all of that on the line, knowing that that's on the line, that he's able to execute the way he was able to execute. So, yes, he's back. Is he back to 2015? No, but nobody's going to be back to that 2015 form. So, it's a long time till we see something like that again.
Just going off what you said, it was a big, big game. So is tonight a big game for
Quintana?
It's a statement game.
Statement game. Yeah, so statement it's a must. It's not a must win for him.
A must win for
it's
anybody.
Must perform.
It's a statement
for him,
game
for you to believe correct. That he can pitch in a big situation.
Yes, that is what it's. It's all about me.
Yes,
me. I.
Okay, you could be the receivers coach.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
No, Brian, I'm just putting myself out there to be the sideline snapper.
We're going to review old man cow tape in here to get Dustin back to his old ways. When will the White Sox win a series? Could they have already won their final series of the year?
Jeez. I mean, that's depressing. Yeah, they may have already won their last. I mean, look, they're a 4A team. Maybe they're a, yeah, maybe they wouldn't win in the AAA. I don't know. Maybe Charlie give them a run for their money. The fact of the matter is that they are stacking losses and got a lot of guys down. A lot of guys, you know, when you're razor thin to begin with and you got no Evisel Garcia and Moncada's down right now and Willie Garcia and, you know, just go through the list of the Matt Davidson.
Charlie Tilson.
That's just mean. I think that it's going to be hard for them to stack some wins. We talked about it. You know, how do you put together winning streaks? Part of it's pitching. A big part of it is pitching and getting good performances. And, you know, when you got a guy like James Shields in your rotation and Derek Holland and Mike Pelfrey, these guys don't belong in rotations, right? So you got two guys that you feel good about as starters and, some point they'll bring up Ronaldo Lopez. I'm not willing to say that they have won their last series and it will not happen again, but I do think that the idea is to lose, and they're put together a team capable of losing, and we've seen them put together a losing streak here where they, you know, can intermittently win a game or two, but they're not going to win series that way, so maybe it is over. Maybe the White Sox have already lost their last series, or already won their last series of the year. They haven't won a series in close to a month now, right?
Wow. That's, look, and as much as you got to be on board with the rebuild, and I am, that is kind of disconcerting when you think how long it's been and how long it might be. And even if you look at the schedule, I mean, that's not exactly a team-friendly schedule, whether a 4A team or even an MLB team, a legitimate team. You might have to get all the way to the second week of September where they host the Giants for three games because the Giants having a horrific season and might be mailing it in at that point. I don't know if Bruce Bochy will allow the team to get to that point where they just don't even mentally show up. But, I mean, you're hard-pressed to find an easy three or four games there for the Chicago White Sox where you can make an argument that you get two of three. So, I mean, there's a lot of Cleveland Indians there. I guess you can maybe get the Tigers middle of September, but it might be another 4 or 5 weeks till you even get to that point where you could sneak a series win. And you always have Hot Dog Wednesdays, though.
I did want to thank the White Sox bullpen for securing the Jays minus 1.5 victory yesterday. That was very nice later on in the afternoon.
You absolute degenerate.
And just fade them. You win a couple games, I'll go against the White Sox because I feel like, okay, this can't continue. As far as the series goes, you have 17 left in the year. They face a lot of playoff teams the rest of the way.
Say, it's the Red Sox, the Astros.
Cleveland twice.
Yeah. Kansas City, the Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
Yeah, with 17 series, you would think, no, this is baseball. That's ridiculous. There's a chance.
What are the odds on winning a series?
I don't know if those are out. I would bet, though, that they do win a series. Because Rodon is the talent. We all know that he can go out there and dominate any game. And then, as you mentioned, Lopez expected to come up soon. All you do in a three-game series, you just have to steal another one. And they have that ability. I'll say they win another series,
but you won't.
But I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, you mentioned the rough patch, we'll say, they have coming up. Boston, Houston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, all back-to-back-to-back-to-back. They're not going to win any of those series. And then they go on the road for four with Texas. They play the Twins for four here. But I think August 25th through 27th, they have the Tigers at home. I think if the starting pitching lines up and they do get either Migo, the ace, and Rodon, or possibly Ronaldo Lopez if he's called up. If they get two out of those guys going in that series, if that lines up, they'll be able to take two out of three from Detroit. But it's going to be few and far between.
Is Verlander still pitching for the Tigers at that point?
Probably. I mean, he is on waivers now, so we'll see how that all shakes down.
No one wanted the money in July. No. They don't want the money in August.
Teams might get desperate as we get down to the nitty-gritty here, but I wouldn't count on it.
I love that you don't have the guts to trade him, so you just throw him on waivers.
Well, everyone gets tossed on waivers.
I know. That's what I mean. It's the only way you can possibly get rid of him.
August 25th through 27th. Mark it down.
Nice.
I'm gonna politely stay out of White Sox business. You're gonna win another series. I think the one thing you have to say about this team is that Ricky's got them trying. They're not just lollygagging. They're trying really hard. So the try hard will catch a couple teams that aren't trying very hard as the season progresses. They will win another series, of course.
I think I already answered that. Yeah.
When it comes to Kevin White and Zach Azani, does it matter whose version of Highlight Gate is accurate?
Look, words matter. And
Apparently not.
Well, Kevin White, I mean, he had specifics, and they were very in stark contrast to what Zach Azani told media members about their film session and his idea to go back and look at West Virginia tape and show him how great he is and remind him and confidence build and all that stuff. And no, three receivers had downtime at camp, and Kendall Wright said, why don't you go ahead and let's go look at your tape. No, let's look at your tape too. And hey, Victor, you got Giants tape. They don't have to go back to college for him. He's Victor Cruz. And he said it, and then he just downplayed any relationship that he has with the new wide receivers coach who came from the college ranks and maybe is beneath his, maybe doesn't believe that he's an NFL quality wide receivers coach. And then he tweets out, believe nothing what you hear and half of what you see. Kevin White does. So, he's got a huge chip on his shoulder about this. And I don't know if it goes back to what the Sun Times reported when Azani said he's not going to be a Pro Bowler this year. I mean, not going to come out here and be a Pro Bowl quality player. I'm here to make sure he does become that. I mean, all of a sudden it's I from the coach's standpoint. Like, if I don't do this for him, he's not possibly going to come out and be that guy. That's an issue. I mean, if there is a schism here between these two guys where Kevin White just shuts down every time the guy starts talking to him, that's an issue. Because Kevin White, of that group, is the guy who's got to be a stud receiver in the long run for the Chicago Bears. But this was a quote to the Sun Times. He's not going to come out here tomorrow and be a Pro Bowl player. He's going to work himself into that, and I'm going to help him. He's not where I want him to be or where we need him to be. He's a work in progress. Kevin White doesn't want to hear that, and he doesn't want other people to hear from the coach.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different with this because somebody is fabricating.
Right.
It's either the coach came up with this idea of showing some highlights to regain his confidence, or the players were sitting around and they came up
right.
with it.
They were sitting around Bourbonnais with nothing to do. Hey, let's go look at some tape.
But those are different stories.
It's like a president saying, well, the leader of the Boy Scouts called me and said, what a great speech, greatest of all time.
The president of Mexico called him.
Yeah.
And no, they talked at the G8 summit.
No, it's just a bunch of people after the speech said what a great speech it was. I mean, that's hugely, bigly different when it comes
to... And, you know, it doesn't matter, but when you stack up all the little statements
are you fast and loose with? Yes.
You know, it does...
It kind of gives you... It puts you in a better light.
He was very nice to me with words.
I mean, and that's...
Yeah, it's very strange.
My concern is the wide receiver coach...
Your concern is chaos at Kellis Hall?
No, that he... It's too much I. It's too much Zach Azani telling everyone what he's doing and how he's coaching the guy up. And John Fox might make sure Zach Azani's not in front of the microphones anymore after this.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a truly bizarre story. The kid is clearly unhappy that that's out there. I don't understand. I guess I don't understand why. Did the coach violate some personal relationship by saying, yeah, I brought him some tape. I wanted him to figure out that he was a good player at one point. You know, it's a very strange, it's taken a bizarre turn because these are two different stories.
Yeah.
And
maybe he doesn't like being called a work in progress.
Who knows? But something's going on, and you're right. It really could affect their ability to work together or whatever. It's just, you know, the kid was fine, and he answered his questions, and he was very defensive, but he was like snapping off answers and getting a totally different story out.
Sure.
It was very strange.
So we've gone from a couple of years of barely being allowed to hear from any coaches to now Zach Azani, the new wide receivers coach, is out there. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I don't know if he's going to be speaking to the media much anymore. How much have we heard from receivers coaches over the last couple of years? If I gave you a million guesses about camp drama down in Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that would be the situation we're talking about? Every day, something has come out about Kevin White I haven't liked. Every day, more alarms are coming off.
Yesterday, though, Joe.
Yesterday
was his strongest practice on the field.
But I'm talking about the stuff that's off the field, which is weird.
I mean. And I agree with you. I'm just saying that's another thing that comes into play here. You know, it apparently
worked. If you
love
football, you had to love this practice.
Oh, my God.
Well, and the other comments that Azani made the other day, you can't let him hear the negativity, can't let him read the papers.
Yeah.
They're trying to protect this guy. Well,
get the bunker.
So they feel that they need to protect this guy. So what is he mad about? Is he mad about the college tapes? Is he mad that they won't let him be himself? That he's, what is it?
Are we dealing with a frail psyche?
Doesn't it seem like he's very, very sensitive?
Touchy.
Or does he think that the former college coach is telling him he's going to make him a Pro Bowl player? And he's like, I've been in the league. And he has, technically. This is his third year in the league. And now this guy is going to be the miracle worker, and I'm a work in progress. And without this guy's help, I can't be a Pro Bowl player. He might be thinking, who the hell are you?
To borrow a phrase from Dustin, toughen up, Buttercup, if you're Kevin White, all right? Listen, I don't want to criticize the guy for being injured. Nobody can help what their body does to them. I'm not going to denigrate him for that. But if you're trying to establish yourself as an NFL player, not even only as, you know, a top 10 pick or a number one wideout, just a guy that can be on the 53-man roster and contribute, and if you haven't been able to play for the first 2 years of your career, you have to be a little bit more tough about criticism and things are going to be thrown your way. I mean, this is such an innocuous thing. You know, you went back and you watched old tape. Sure, that's fine. Why do you have to get so offended and put up this guard and get all ticked off about it? Just do your thing and work. And if somebody's like, hey, were you guys watching old tape? Yeah, we were. Okay, that's it. That's the end of it. Why do you have to be so contentious? And when you're already on bad terms with Bears fans, and come out and
he clearly doesn't like this guy saying what he said.
Well, yeah, he needs to relax or, like I said, toughen up or do something, because this is a real bad look for a guy who can't even stay out on the field.
Lighten up, Kevin White. Okay, listen, maybe, you know, Mully, you bring it up, and I think this might have been the goal, and maybe this is what they needed to do. He had his best practice of camp, maybe his best practice as a Bear yesterday. And then he made these. So he didn't learn that the coach made these comments after his best practice. He knew about it going into his best practice. Maybe that fired his rear end up. Okay? So if that's the case, then guess what? This coach deserves some more credit because it worked. If ticked off Kevin White gets Kevin White on the field, gets Kevin White to catch balls from Mike Glennon or Mitch Trubisky, then that's what you want. Here's what I think happened. He admitted that the coaches were in the room. So the wide receiver coaches, maybe Lil Dow Loggins, and the wide receivers were in the room watching the tape. The semantics of it is who decided or who suggested.
Right.
That's the semantic.
No, as Asani said, he and I were watching tape. He didn't even mention the other two.
Yeah, but they were watching tape.
It may sound like those two were working one-on-one.
Right, but again, that's also, in my public-educated mind, that's semantics.
No, it
doesn't
isn't.
Matter. He didn't need to tell us every single person that was in the room. Technically, he and Kevin White were watching tape along with all those other people. He left that detail out, but who cares?
Well, I think
Kevin White, then good. Get motivated. Keep
Kevin
your
White
on the
care.
Field.
And I, you know, I hate to say this because I don't want to pour water on the fact the guy had a great practice. But I don't really care if he had his best practice as a Bear. I'd like to see his best game as a Bear. I'd like to see a dominant receiver that, controls the game. I gotcha.
I think I just answered that, but I'll answer it again.
Would you be more excited about the Bears if Mitch Trubisky were preparing to play this year instead of sit?
Yes, no question about it. There's not a shadow of a doubt that if they had a bright, shiny new quarterback that was the number two overall pick in the draft and he was ready to play and we were looking at a new era, I would be more excited about it than, okay, we're going to try this guy first while we develop the other guy and we got a plan and we did move up and we did give away assets, but we do have a guy that is going to be a great player, just not right away. I think I'd be more fired up if I were hearing about a player that was going to play immediately, and that if I didn't feel that they kind of are putting, you know, they're rebuilding in front of our eyes instead of what is the Roger Goodell line? We don't have teams that tank, I don't think they're tanking. That's not what I'm saying, but I think that maybe he missed Cleveland last year. Maybe Roger didn't get out there, but there are definitely teams that have done that before and tried to lose at the end of games. We've seen it all the time. Didn't Lovey lose at the end of the season in order to get a first round draft pick, and it worked? I think I'd be more excited if indeed you had the top quarterback from a class ready to play, but that's not the situation. So I'm not gonna kill myself about it. I'm not overly worried about it. But yeah, no, it's kind of a drag.
I'd be more interested. Not excited. I'd be excited if that was the one position holding this Bears team back from being a playoff team. If the quarterback situation was so awful, but the defense was playoff caliber and everything else was in place and you needed something different, something better, an upgrade, and just because it was such a high draft pick, you think you're upgrading the quarterback position, then I'm excited if they can actually contend even for a wild card spot. That's not this team. I'd be much more interested to tune in every week and watch the development of the young quarterback, but I don't know how you get excited about a team, again, that's staring at 6-7, maybe, best case scenario, 8 wins on the season.
Are you watching some of this stuff around the league? You know, I mean, there's buzz coming out about different players, and they're, you know, fan bases are getting worked up. You
right.
know, Christian McCaffrey cannot be covered. No one on the field can cover this guy. We're not talking about the top pick or the number two overall pick.
But we're talking about a team coming off 3 wins.
But there's a you think Cleveland, you know,
I never thought the Bears would be in the conversation with Cleveland, but they're firmly in that group now. When you talk about the dregs of the league, you can't sit there and talk about the hallowed tradition.
But all those bad teams, and the Bears are one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a bright, shiny new
right. So
toy
I'd be interested, not excited, because I'm not. Cleveland's not going to be a playoff team either. I mean, I get 25% of teams in the league on an annual basis jump up from the basement and get to the penthouse, outhouse to the penthouse. I'd be shocked if I'd be excited if the Bears came out in the first 8 games and had a winning record to show for it after the schedule's gone, then I'd be shocked and really excited to see what plays out in the second half of the season. That is a reach.
Off the charts excitement. If we knew that Trubisky was the starter if we knew, okay, this is our chance. In 1 week from today, first preseason game,
right,
the starting quarterback Trubisky is going to be out there. Imagine this. Longtime guy, Mully's guy, John McClain, Houston Chronicle. This is what he tweets last week. I covered Warren Moon from day one for 10 years. At his third practice, Deshaun Watson reminds me of Moon in his first camp in 1984.
No pressure.
So smooth.
So all over the league, yeah, we're seeing that.
What if Big Z comes on Mully and Hanley and he says that about a Hall of Fame quarterback, Barry Trubisky?
The Texans.
Trubisky delivers the ball better than Cutler ever did, even in practice. I mean, like, that's the kind of thing you'd love to hear.
The Texans are that team that was being held back by the quarterback position.
True. Elite defense.
Yeah, but it's still bright, new, shiny object.
The quarterback covers up so much. If you can find that guy, and then he's your guy for a decade, and we'd have hope, and there would be a lot more excitement.
I don't think Mitch Trubisky is anywhere close to being ready, so I agree with Brian. It would be more interesting, yeah, but I don't know if it would be more exciting, because I don't think he's any good yet.
So by not playing him, you're getting him better?
What is he, 21 years old? He doesn't have a grown man's body. He's not ready to go.
You know what? Maybe if you get really lucky, he won't be able to play next year because Glenn will get better. Then you could really hit the jackpot, and he could just play out his rookie contract on the bench.
Of course it would be more exciting. Of course it would be more interesting. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.